Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Little Van Haven bringing this back. Welcome back, 12 After. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you for hanging out with me. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Robert Brands is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Robert's a member of our Brain Trust. He's the principal of InnovationCoach.com. He's the author of Robert's Rules of Innovation, and he's our good friend, Robert Brands. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Great to be here. Thanks for having me again.
It's good to have you back. You know, Robert, I'm old enough to remember when a business, large or small, but especially probably small businesses, could be founded by mom and pop, and they make, you know, they make or sell one thing, and that one thing lasts mom and dad all the way through their career, and they actually hand it off to a child or sell the business, and maybe it would do pretty well for a while through those people. I mean, you could almost just hang out with one idea, one strategy, one product for a generation or two. In fact, as we know, if we go all the way back to the 19th century, you know, that happened for generations. Those days are gone, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And actually, it's a generational challenge, actually. It's often the passionate, engineer-driven, or innovative entrepreneur who has started it. And it's really a big challenge to create that sustainable innovation over time. Not only because of the generational difference, but secondly, because of the process and the passion. And that's why it's so important, if you're a small business owner or a business owner of a first or second generation, to make sure you put the processes and the systems in place to keep it going.
Processes and systems, you're talking about the culture, you're talking about the planned meetings, the questioning of what you do, just the culture of saying, you know what, we may like what we have, but every day that goes by, it has a tendency to get a little rusty. We have to make sure we keep knocking the rust off. What do you think, Robert?
Absolutely. It starts with inspiration. It's the inspiration you first need to reinstill and create and foster. You know, that's where all your employees, the people who work with you, will look at you for that, to make sure you're sincere in what you want to do in the area of innovation, and to renew yourself, to keep things going and refresh it. But you're absolutely right. It's really what I call a holistic approach to innovation, which in the book talks about the word innovation spelled out in these 10 imperatives. But it's not, as I said, or it's not like process and structure, all technical and difficult. No, it's a lot of gut feel, things that have to happen, from inspiration to ownership to accountability and ultimately value creation. It's all about those real tangible things that have to take place to make it happen again.
Well, and when you say inspire, there's one thing we know, and that of course connects to the culture. The inspiration and the culture doesn't turn out the way the company needs to if it doesn't come from the headwaters of the business, which is the founder, the CEO, the people running the company, the people at the top of the org chart. They must sell this to their team, mustn't they?
Yeah, and I talk a little bit about the systematic approach, because, and it sounds a little technical, but it isn't. But the point is, it needs some structure. Otherwise, it won't have any continuation. I did a study recently with a family-based business in the Netherlands after a newspaper article appeared here. And the challenge was, it was the father who had started the business, the daughter who was taking it over right now. But they were not asking all the senior management and engineers around the father to help with the new designs of the future products, because it always came from the owner. So it's so important to start doing regular brainstorms and creating an open environment to get new ideas from everybody and let everybody participate. But as you can imagine, that's a whole different culture and a different approach than they would have done for years and years.
Well, so, one of the things you also talk about, Robert, is the idea of no risk, no innovation. And if employees, if your team members are worried that if they take chances, if they try to innovate, if they try to talk about innovation, if they recommend that something that we currently do might need to be fluffed up a little bit, and they're worried that they could be penalized for that, then they're not going to take those risks. So that's got to be part of the culture too, doesn't it? Letting people know that if they make a mistake, we're not going to fire them. We're going to say, what did we learn?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's a very, very valid point. And in a small organization, typically failure is somewhat more tolerated than in a very large organization. But innovation is all about the willingness to take risk. It's innovation is creativity times risk taking. Now, so what has to happen is it's not so much the failure that is expected, but how do we handle it?
Yeah.
So as long as we empower people to let them be creative, try things out, and deal with the consequences and encourage people, then you will see them flourish and bloom. But the whole thing, yes?
Can I say something about failure? I you said that failure is not expected. I'm going to ask you this question. Isn't it a better part of the culture when you say to your employees, we don't desire failure, but we know we're human, we're going to take some chances, so we expect that there will be some failures. What about that?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a good one. And actually, often I say define failure and allow people to know or let people know how much tolerance there is for it. In other words, if there is a new idea, agree that we're willing to spend $1,000 or $10,000 on a project and test it out. And if it works, great, we go forward.
Right.
If it doesn't, we learn how to not do it. I mean,
right. Look
at Thomas Edison. You know, he did thousands of trials on his light bulb until it eventually worked, and he said, I learned how to not do it. And, and defining that will only help a very creative organization.
Right. Well, and I think the key to this whole culture of risk and reward and innovation has got to come down to where employees feel that they're not going to be harmed by buying into the culture, where they believe that if they do something, if they suggest something, if they say the emperor has no clothes about something that the company does, that they will not be fired, they will not be chastised, that they'll actually be comfortable in saying, let's take a look at that. Hey, Robert, give us your website quickly, please.
Yeah, the website is innovationcoach.com, or for the book, it's robertsrulesofinnovation.com.
All right, so check it out, folks. That's the book, available wherever books are sold, 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're going to be right back with Robert Brand. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.